It's February 9th, 2017, in Brisbane, Australia. It is the appearance day of Lord Nitya, remember? No. And we're going to be doing a meditation on Nitya Padakamala. Being here tonight. We go to what time?
7:15.
So first I thought we could just sing Nitya Padakamala together. Is that right? So we're going to sing it together and then we're going to go through the meaning and a little meditation on the song. Ready? Maybe someone else could lead, actually, just a second. Nitya Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushitala.
Nitya Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushitala.
Jai Chaya Jagatajura.
Thank you.
Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are Krishna and Balaram. So our understanding of the Lord is very personal. We understand that the Lord is a person with personality, with associates. And the Lord expands himself first as Balaram. Balaram and Krishna are the same. They are actually the same person. You know, in our life, Hare Krishna, I expect to see you in this part of the world. What are you doing in this part of the world?
Just to see you and yes,
sir. I don't believe you at all. I expect to see you in New Jersey or Vrindavan, but not in Brisbane, Australia. So for each of us, we have our different moods, right? And we act differently, different circumstances with different people, when we're doing different activities. But we don't generally change our whole form. Hare Krishna. So lovely to see you and your husband. You know, we look pretty much the same, right? But when Krishna has different moods, he has a different form. Advaita Vajutamanadim Anantarupam, he has unlimited forms. And what's interesting about this is that in each form he's displaying a somewhat different personality, but yet he's the same person. You know, even for each of us, our personality is not, how would you say, it's very so simple. Like you can take different personality tests to figure out what kind of a person you are. But we're always more complex than any kind of test could measure, isn't that a fact? Yeah. It's not such a simple thing. Oh, this is an outgoing person, this is an introverted person, this is a creative person, this is an intellectual person. We're nuanced and we're complex. And so how much more so is that with Krishna when he wants to display, particularly emphasizing different parts of his personality, actually has different forms. And so his first expansion is Balaram. So again, if you can understand that I can be showing one part of my personality, one way of my personality with some people in some circumstance, and I can be showing another aspect of my personality with other people. We all do this. So the Lord is also doing this, but each time he does it, it's another form. And some of these forms look all basically like Krishna, just like in the Rasa-lila, Krishna is expanding himself with each of the gopis, or it's explained in Bhagavatam, third canto, when he marries the 16,100 queens. Don't try that at home. When Krishna did that, he married them all in different 16,100 ceremonies and in 16,100 forms. That's why we shouldn't try that at home. And in each form, he was exactly suitable for each queen. That means each form was slightly different, but it was all Krishna, whereas Balaram is more different. So when the Lord comes in different incarnations, many times his expansions come with him. Sometimes they come as his weapons or his whatever, but Balaram is always there, at least in some form, when the Lord comes. He may be there as the Lord's paraphernalia. And when the Lord incarnates as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda comes, and Nityananda is the form of Balaram who comes with him. So when the Lord creates the material world, he does so as an expansion of Balaram or Nityananda. Now, there's so many stories about how does the Lord create the world. At the present time, there's two main explanations for creation. One is that everything just sort of created itself. That would be very interesting, wouldn't it? If dinner created itself, and your house created itself, and all the work you have to do just did itself. That hasn't happened. Does that happen to any of you? Did any of you, like, your house just built itself? And what's even funnier about that creation story is they talk about how in the beginning there was nothing at all. There was no space, there was no time. That's true. There was no space and no time, but they say in the beginning there was no space, no time. And then all of a sudden, there was a little chunk. Where did it come from? You're not supposed to ask that question. She said, shh, don't ask that question. So there came this little chunk that was unlimitedly small and unlimitedly dense. Well, if we're going to talk about something that's unlimitedly small and unlimitedly dense, what are we talking about? God. We're talking about God. So that Krishna is the smallest of the smallest, but he's the biggest of the biggest simultaneously. He's both simultaneously. So you're going to say something is simultaneously infinitely small and infinitely dense. Well, guess what? You're talking about Krishna. But they say, no. It wasn't God, it was matter. So they're making matter into God. You understand? They're positing that matter has supernatural qualities of God. And then somehow, this inconceivable, supernatural, unlimitedly small, unlimitedly dense chunk exploded. So what is it? How did it get there? And why did it explode? I mean, sometimes we explode, but we always have some idea why. Don't just randomly explode, unless you're psychotic. Maybe the origin of the universe is psychotic, I don't know. This infinitesimally small bit of matter is mentally ill, and it just explodes for no reason. And not only that, when it explodes, it creates a universe of order. Which makes no sense, by the way, even to the scientists. They can't explain with their scientific laws why an explosion would produce order. Have you ever put something hot in a blender? Did that produce order? No, it produced mess. So an explosion produces mess. We used to have a radio show that, this is a new home building company, and they're going to put all of the items for your home in your front yard along with some dynamite and blow it up, and you're going to have a house. And then they want to complain, well, when we say the creation is by this gigantic four-armed, bluish-colored being holding a lotus and a disc and a club, and they say, oh, this is mythology, it's supernatural, it's superstitious. And we say, I don't know, you're infinitesimally small, infinitely dense, randomly exploding chunk that creates order seems pretty supernatural and mythological to me, too. And then the question is, do you want to have your ultimate supernatural, inconceivable explanation be matter or a person? It's not a choice between, do I want something that's just, kind of reasonable and according to my understanding of my life as the origin of the universe, or do I want something supernatural? That's not the option. The option is between supernatural and inconceivable and supernatural and inconceivable. Those are the options. And of the two, which would we prefer? Because as soon as we say it was just a chunk, just like this one devotee gave me a video once for a Gurukul called The Origin of the Universe. Of course, the question is raised, who took the video? But other than that, it was the videographer of The Origin of the Universe. And the scientist starts off saying that when we look at the origin of the universe, we find it is a cold, impersonal machine. So what would you rather, a cold, impersonal machine or a warm, loving, youthful, playful person? My vote is for the person. So that person is an expansion of Lord Nityananda or Lord Balaram. And all the creation is done not exactly by Krishna's directly, but by the expansion of his expansion. So this is the ontological identity of Lord Nityananda. So keeping that in mind, now we're going to go through a meditation on the song we just sang. So we've had some pretty hot days, and we're expecting some hotter ones coming up. And when it's very hot days, then we're very happy for the moon. Everyone in the summer, there was a song when I was a teenager about how it's so hot in the summer, but then everybody becomes happy in the nighttime under the moonlight. So this moonlight is very cooling and very soothing. And just imagine millions of rooms. Millions and millions of rooms. So especially we can meditate on this on the next few days. We're expecting about 3 or 4 days of very hot weather, right? Like 39, 40 Celsius. It's about 104 Fahrenheit. So, and just, you know, as you're going through your day, going, oh, this heat. Oh, why didn't you not just go to sleep? It's like millions of rooms. But the heat that we're experiencing, from which we need relief in the moonlight, is not exactly just some kind of summer temperature, but it is our material existence, which Krishna explains is like a blazing fire. Now, it's very interesting. The Supreme Lord has senses. Yes, the Supreme Lord has senses. And he's the master of the senses. He's called Govinda and Rishikesh. But the senses of the Lord and the senses of the devotee engaged in the service of the Lord are not fire burning. They're actually giving. The word we use in Sanskrit to describe the senses as go, like Govinda. Also, go means what? Cow. You ever thought about that? It means both senses and cow. So a cow is very giving. Cow is a very giving animal. Everything from the cow is valuable, even the cow's urine and stool is valuable. When the cow dies, every part of the cow's body can be used for some purpose. And what does the cow ask in return? A little grass. It's hard to find somebody like that. I haven't met very many humans like that, that you just give them a little grass and a little water, and they're so generous with everything and not causing any trouble. So the spiritually enlivened senses of the awakened soul are like that. They're giving. They're giving. They're loving. In contrast, our material senses, our bodily senses, our mind, our materially infected ego is not very giving. Is it very giving? Well, I suppose it gives a lot of trouble in that way. Our material senses are always demanding. No matter how much we serve them, they simply want more. They're never actually fully satisfied. You cannot say, now I'm fully and completely satisfied on all levels. Maybe you can say that for 2 or 3 minutes, or maybe an hour. But then again, there's no satisfaction. So it's that identification with the false senses, with the body and with the mind, that puts us in this just fire, where we're always feeling dissatisfied. I have to get more, I have to get newer, I have to get better, I have to get more and bigger and newer and better. And of course, the modern consumer society really pushes us in that direction, doesn't it? You know, you always have to get more and bigger and better. You have to get the new thing just because it's new. But what are the different features? We made it an eighth of an inch, you know, 1 millimeter thinner. You have to buy it. And it's just this constant blazing fire. So this fire is put out by the millions of moons of the feet of Lord Nityananda. Why is that? Because we get satisfied there. Like Dhruva Maharaj, she had a great fire of desire for his father's love and his father's kingdom. But as soon as he encountered the Lord, he felt fully satisfied. We were speaking about this morning in regard to Lord Nityananda specifically, how when Shivananda Sen received the touch of Nityananda's foot, he said, now I have achieved the results of everything one could want by acquiring wealth, by satisfaction of the senses, by being a good, righteous person, having that ego satisfaction that I'm a good person. Everything that I could want in that regard has been satisfied just by contacting one foot of Nityananda. And why is that? Because Nityananda is the Supreme Lord, and therefore he is complete. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purna Purna Udachate Purna Sya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Pasishate. What we are trying with these very limited senses, I mean, how much can we smell with our nose? Whoa, Not very much. Huh? We want to smell beautiful things, flowers and perfume and spices and cooking and so many things. But how much can we smell? But that is there unlimitedly in the Lord. Unlimitedly. And as soon as we just touch the Lord, then we experience that also unlimitedly. And therefore we just feel this relief from this desire, I have to get this and I have to do that and get this. So we have so many ways that we're trying to get relief from the fire of material existence. Generally, people try to get relief from this fire by changing their sense objects, right? Okay, instead of eating rice and dal, I will eat pizza. I'll change my marriage partner. That's become a very popular way of trying to be happy in the modern world. I'll change my residence. I'll change my, something. Change my career. I'll get a different set of sense objects. I'll get a different set of circumstances, and if I could just change my sense objects, then I will be happy. Or for the mind, I'll surround myself with people that will praise me and tell me how wonderful I am. These people aren't appreciating me. They don't understand everything I've done and how wonderful I am. So go find people who will tell me how wonderful I am. And we're just trying to do that, and we're doing that, my dear friends, not only in this life, but we're doing it life after life after life. And we're trying to get different bodies. Someone's thinking, oh, if only I had a female body instead of a male body, or a male body instead of a female body. If only I had, if only I had more melanin in my skin, or less melanin in my skin, or, if only I could fly, if only I had, mystic powers. And so we go one body after another, and we try, a different set of sense objects, a different set of senses, a different kind of ego. We try being a very quiet person who sits in the back and never asks a question. We try being the person at the front with the microphone. And, we try all of these different things. And we think this way it's going to cut out. It's going to somehow, if I could just find the right set of circumstances, that my blazing fire would be extinguished. But no, if you want the blazing fire to be extinguished, if we want unlimited happiness full of variety, but without this angst and without the pain, then all we need to do is go to the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, now we're getting very specific. Because there's a lot of people in the world, a lot of religious organizations, spiritual organizations, that will talk about that if you approach the Lord, you will feel relief from distress and you will feel satisfied. Which is completely true. But we're going a step further. And we're saying, the Lord is really personal and has a whole variety of pastimes. And the ultimate expression of these pastimes of the Lord is found in Goloka Vrindavan. It's found in the Lord's realm, where he is dancing with the cowherd maidens, where he is playing with the other cowherd boys, where he is giving joy to his parents. The Lord has parents, not in a technical sense, because Ambija Pradapita, he's the father of everyone, but he has devotees who take the role of his parents out of love. And he has all these loving pastimes. And looking at the highest perfection, highest satisfaction, in that very specific way, we are being told here by Narottama Das Thakur that if we want to enter into that realm, if we want to specifically understand the dance of divine love and pastimes that happens between the Lord and the maidens of Vrindavan, then we need to go through Lord Nityananda. Now, some of you may not understand this next point, but this doesn't mean that all of us are going to be in the dance, technically speaking. It's not that every one of us is one of the gopis, in Vrindavan, we each have our own particular eternal identity in the spiritual world according to our particular desire. Each of us is an individual, and that individuality, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is eternal. So although we preach very strongly that you're not this body, that we are a soul different from this body, we have a body that is us. It's just right now dormant. It's sleeping. It's like if you have some seeds inside of a packet. The packet is not the body of the seed. But if you put water and sunlight on the seed, it manifests its own natural body. You all understand? So we, the soul, we have our own natural form, which right now is dormant. And this particular covering that we have right now, according to our past karma and our past desires, is not our ultimate identity. Krishna consciousness awakens our ultimate, actual, eternal identity, which is what we want to be more than anything else, and which is completely perfect and fully spiritual, free from inebrieties. And although we each have our own individual identity, every soul in Goloka Vrindavan is contributing to this Rasa-lila in some way. So even the cowherd boys, they have some contribution to make. Even Mother Yasoda, even Jatila. Everyone is contributing in some way, either directly or indirectly. That is a very deep subject matter. We can't go into that in depth in this class. But just at least to make that point, that when Srila Prabhupada is saying, this Krishna consciousness movement is for approaching Radha Krishna, to be associated with the Supreme Lord in his supreme pleasure dance, that is the aim of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is not saying here that each of us are gopis. That's not a fact. Some of us have that as our eternal relationship with Krishna, and some of us have different relationships with Krishna. But no matter what relationship we have with Krishna, we are contributing to that lila. A very nice example would be in Ram Lila with Hanuman. So Hanuman wants to do what? He wants to bring Sita and Ram together. You understand? He's in a mood of a servant. He's in a mood of dasya bhav. He's not in a madhurya bhav himself. But he wants to bring together Sita and Ram. So everyone in Ayodhya is contributing to the love between Sita and Ram. And everyone in Vrindavan is contributing to the love between Radha and Krishna. Is that reasonably clear? So Prabhupada is saying this is the aim of our Krishna consciousness movement, to be associated with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. It means according to our particular mood. We have a very, very individualistic philosophy. Then he goes on and says that if that's what we want to do, if we want to have some association with this highest pleasure dance of God, then we do it through Nityananda. Why through Nityananda? Well, this is a little mysterious, that the Supreme Lord in his ultimate realm is very young and very soft. The Supreme Lord in his original ultimate realm is not there as, I am the Supreme Lord. That's not his mood. His mood is, I'm a village boy, taking care of the cows and dancing with my friends. And therefore, there are other expansions of the Lord and other personalities who protect that realm from anyone who isn't in the proper mood. And one of the personalities who protect that realm is the Lord's first expansion, Balaram, or Nityananda. So you have to get his permission. He's like the gatekeeper. Everybody understands this part? Actually, there's many gatekeepers. There's a section in the, I think it's in the Garuda Purana. There's an edition published by Dhanavir Swami, Dushakarta Prabhu's translations, how Lord Shiva and one rishi wanted to enter into this rasa dance in male forms. And they encountered big, strong, strong female guards with sticks around the rustics. Said, you can't come in the male form. And they said, there's millions of us, you won't be able to get past. So I thought that's a very interesting relationship to have with Krishna, to be the female armed guards around the residence. So my point is that there's many entities who take as their service to guard the ultimate realm. This is explained very nicely in the Brahma Samhita, how there's many guards around the spiritual world. A similar thing was said in the Bible, that when Adam and Eve left paradise, there was an angel guarding the gates so that they couldn't force their way back in. So we cannot force our way into the kingdom of God. We cannot buy our way into the kingdom of God. The Catholic Church used to have something called indulgences, where if you committed a sinful activity, instead of going through some kind of atonement, you just gave a donation to the church. And the church issued you a certificate. You will now not have to suffer the reaction for your sin. So it was a nice money-making scheme for a very profitable philosophy for the Catholic Church. Yes, but it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The religious practice that we're doing, what we call our sadhana bhakti or vyas yoga, practice yoga, is not a way of buying our way into the kingdom of God. It's not like that. It's not, well, if I could chant 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra a day and only drink milk and stay at Radhakund, then definitely I would buy my way back to Godhead. It just doesn't work like that at all. You know, if we think about it in our human relations, right? Suppose you have somebody that you're very close to, and then they break the relationship. They leave, and they have a relationship instead with somebody else. They cheat you, and they betray you, and they deny you. And then they want to come back. You know? They can't buy their way back, right? If a man cheats on his wife and then he comes back and he says, well, I brought the dozen roses and the two diamond bracelets. It's the wrong mentality. The person doesn't understand the mentality. The mentality that we need to again be reinstated in our original position is one of very, very deep humility and very, very deep love. And there are people who are examining us. And one of these people is Lord Nityananda. So he is examining us. Of course, Bodhichananda is a very interesting examiner. He's not too worried. He's actually very liberal and very merciful and very funny. And it's not like, you know, sitting for your examination to be a lawyer or something like that. And it's not the kind of examination that you study trivia for, right? But Lord Nityananda is a gatekeeper. He is keeping out the rascals like me and keeping me in the material world. So you're not ready yet. So one has to have the blessings of Lord Nityananda. This is, again, a very personal philosophy, that we need the blessings and the pleasure of the Lord's expansions and the Lord's devotees to approach the Lord. And Prabhupada explains that we're all looking for pleasure. Real pleasure is Nityananda. Nitya means eternal, and Ananda means pleasure. So this gatekeeper, Lord Nityananda, just see what kind of a person he is. He is a person of eternal pleasure. Now this may sound very strange, but really what we are asked to surrender to, when Krishna says sarva dharmam prachajamam ekam sharanam vraja, we really have to surrender to eternal unlimited pleasure. We say, well, I'll sign up for that. But we don't really. We don't really. We have something in us feels that I need to pay all my karmic debts. You know, this is our attachment to dharma, sarva dharma and prachaja. Those of you who are here for the Manashiksha seminars, Raghunathas Goswami is talking about give up dharma and adharma. We don't just have an attachment to our senses, to nice food, to a romantic partner, to attractive clothing, to a temperature-controlled environment. It's not just to our gross bodily senses. We're also attached, primarily, in fact, more than to our gross bodily senses, to our sense of self, our false sense of self, called the ahankara. And our false sense of self is, I'm a very good person. Now that's useful if you're a materialist. Much better to have be attached to a conception of yourself as a good person than to be attached to a conception of yourself as an irresponsible person. Right? We would much rather that people have a dharmic view of themselves than an adharmic view. A lot of the problems of the world would be solved if people had a dharmic view of themselves. That's perfectly true. He would cut down on crime, on illegitimate births and divorce and all kinds of things. If people just said, you know, I'm doing this because I'm good and I'm responsible. So it's very, very useful for most people to think like that. However, it is still illusion. And it is still false ego. So we don't want to jettison a dharmic identity to fall into ignorance and irresponsibility and irreligion and sinful activity. But we do want to jettison a dharmic identity in order to completely embrace eternal happiness. Because that dharmic identity prevents us from doing so. The dharmic identity tells us, I'm a responsible person. I pay all of my debts. I earn things. I don't get them as free gifts. I pay for them. And I sacrifice for them because I'm a very good, responsible person. Again, that's a very good thing from a material perspective. From a material perspective. We don't want people to be thieves and rogues. But from a spiritual perspective, the gift of the Lord is free. And the gift of the Lord of eternal happiness erases all karmic debts without our doing anything except simply accepting that there's eternal unlimited pleasure. It requires, in fact, a hefty dose of humility to say, I am going to accept this free gift of eternal unlimited pleasure although I haven't paid for it and I don't deserve it. And that kind of ego, I'm only going to get what I deserve, is actually prevents us from doing what we say we want. We say we want unlimited bliss, but when it comes down to it, we're like, maybe not yet, when I'm ready for it. And that is the test. Isn't that interesting? The test of the gatekeeper of Lord Nityananda is, are you ready to surrender to your eternal position of eternal, unlimited bliss in service to the Lord? Well, now after inducing us with the positive, we're going to go to the negative. Now, if you study psychology, you'll know that each of us has a tendency more to motivate ourselves by positive or by negative. So each of us can think about that. You know, what do we do? Do we tend to be a cheerleader or do we tend to be a taskmaster with ourselves? So some of us look at what we do right and say, wow, I did that right. Good going. Yeah. And some of us look at ourselves and go, oh, okay, I did that right, but this was wrong, and this was wrong, and this was wrong. So we each have a tendency to look more at the positive or the negative. That's a personality. So we all look at both, but we have a tendency. By the way, either extreme is really bad. People who only look at the positive tend to do high-risk activities and not live very long. People who only look at the negative never get out of bed. So both perspectives in the extreme are not very good. But we find that the scriptures and the great acharyas present things in both a positive and a negative way. They show both. And part of the reason for that is it's necessary for our balance, and part of the reason is some of us are going to be attracted more by the positive, let me take that unlimited happiness and contribute to the blissful, sublime dance of Radha and Krishna. And some of us are going to take more of the negative. If I don't take the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, I'm in trouble. So it depends with what moves us more. So here's the point, that if you don't contact Lord Nityananda, you're only going to have flickering, temporary happiness. Is this our experience? In this world, we get some happiness, undoubtedly, we get some happiness, but it's very flickering. It's very flickering. The weather's nice for a short amount of time. The people in our life are respectful to us for a short amount of time, not all the time. Our body doesn't always work. It works, but it doesn't work. Right? Our mind is not always happy. Our mind is happy, but our mind is in anxiety. And we can't maintain a position of material happiness. So if we don't go for the eternal happiness, then you're going to have the temporary happiness. Logical, right? So this is the negative side. Hey, don't be a fool! You're hesitant to go for the eternal happiness, but what are you going to get? What's the opposite of eternal? Temporary. Flickering. Is that what you really want? Now it gets a little heavier. And what is that temporary happiness? It's pasu. It's the happiness of the animals. That our happiness in this life is mostly eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And that on a gross level and on a subtle level. And that's about it. So not only is it temporary, but it's not even on a very high platform. We end up with only false material happiness. We have this nice comic here. Right? So here it is, Christmas, and they've gotten boxes full of sense gratification and material happiness. And she says, oh boy, he says, wow, just what I wanted. And then she says, I'm bored, his present looks good, I'm tired of this stuff, wish I had that stuff. And then they're fighting over it. This is the nature of material happiness. So it's temporary, it's a very gross platform, it's really, most of the happiness we're enjoying is gross or polished animal happiness. It doesn't satisfy us for very long. Vidyakula, getting knowledge and getting family. And again, on the material level, this is very good. You tell your children, get a good education. Get it from the best schools. Get it in a top-paying field. Be loyal to your family. Take care of your family. Most religious organizations don't preach above this. Because right now, people do that. That's pretty extraordinary. Right? That's great success. How'd your kid turn out? He got married. He has a good job. Great. God, you succeeded. And it's true. Right now, 2017, you know, if you can get your kid to do that, then you're a great hero. But what is that ultimately? The swans do that too. The lions do that too. The elephants do that too. The mice do that. There's these mice called scorpion mice. You know, usually mice eat just like grains and stuff, right? Most mice are vegetarians. The scorpion mice eat scorpions. Can you imagine? They should make that as some kind of a new superhero, right? Scorpion mouse eating the scorpions. But they do, really. They fight with the scorpions and they eat them. You can look it up on your National Geographic channel. And they're very attached to their family, these scorpion mice. They're vicious fighters, very courageous. You have to be a pretty courageous, vicious fighter to fight with a scorpion. So they're really expert in their career. They've got a really far out career. They're not just like, you know, cheese thief. What's your career? I am a scorpion fighter. And they really love their family. They're very attached to their family. You know, if some owl comes and eats one of the little baby scorpion mice, the mother and father scorpion mice, they hug each other and they cry. Seriously, they're really good. So if all we're looking for is a good education and a good career and a nice family, you know, we're not much better than a scorpion mouse. I mean, again, in 2017, if you can do that, that's pretty amazing. We're not saying be a bum in the street. But that's not going to satisfy our desire for happiness. Right? As Prabhupada says, after ending these body, these things will not help us. We'll carry my work with us. According to that work, we'll have to accept by force another type of body, which may not even be a human body. So we have a little cartoon here. Here's this guy, family man, rich, famous, PhD, I own my own home. But when he dies, then he becomes a child in a low-class family. At the time, these things don't give us unlimited full satisfaction, and they don't guarantee that we're going to have a nice situation in our next life. So if that's all we're looking at, if we're only looking at what kind of job do I have, how much money do I have, how much status do I have, am I a responsible family person, that's not enough to make us happy. And religions that only preach that are doing a great disservice to people in general. So here we have this pastime where Lord Nityananda, remember I told you he's very merciful as a gatekeeper? He was willing to let Jagai and Madai in. Jagai and Madai were born in a good family. They had become criminals. And Lord Nityananda went to them and said, please, judge. And then Madai took a pot and threw it at Lord Nityananda's head, for which Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill Jagai and Madai. And Nityananda said, no, Jagai, stop, Madai. Lord Chaitanya said, oh, very nice. And then Madai also fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya accepted them both as great devotees. But they were thinking, I have everything. What do I need Lord Nityananda for? I am powerful. I am perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. So foolish people in the world, they think like that. I have a house. I have a car. I have my family. I have a good job. I have some status. Why do I need the lotus feet of the Lord? I already have whatever I need. So here again, we're showing the same pastime. That when we have this false ego, we're thinking this world is the ultimate reality, my body is the ultimate reality, everything I'm doing here is the ultimate reality. And then every once in a while we stop and say to ourselves, is this all there is? Is this all there is? I did it living in a country like Australia, a developed Western country, peaceful country. Long waiting line to come into Australia. It's fact. Not so easy to live here. You come here, beautiful home, nice climate, fancy car, big TV screen in every room, maybe a dog, beautiful spouse, children getting good grades and going to the best schools, and you have all of that, and you have some position in your community. And one day you say, is that it? Why aren't I satisfied? Because all of those things are false. They're all an illusion. And again we're told, here, Nityananda, he's going to give you the real thing, the ultimate thing. He is going to give you entrance into the ultimate abode. Why take something false? Why take something temporary? Take not only the real and the eternal, but go to the highest level. And do it fully. Not like, well, I'll just kind of touch the internet as though it's the other one's watch. I'll chant a little bit sometimes, you know, and I'll take a little prasadam sometimes, and I'll come to the temple sometimes. I mean, that's nice. Krishna says swalpa. Even a little bit gives you a good birth. We don't have the philosophy that either you fully take up Krishna consciousness in this life or you go to an eternal hell. I don't know what kind of a god anybody would want to worship like that. So anything you take up, any little thing, makes your life better quality in this life and gives us a better birth next life. So any little progress is wonderful. But why not do the whole thing? Why not grasp his lotus feet firmly, without hesitation, without mixture, without holding back? But then we might have a fear, we might have a concern. You might say, well, everything I grabbed in this world was false. Everything I grabbed in this world disappointed me. Maybe Lord Nityananda's feet will disappoint me too. No, no, Satya, they are truth and eternal. And as soon as we grab those feet, we realize our eternality. We are already eternal. Prabhupada saying here, they become eternal. In other words, we realize that we are eternal. All the text here is Prabhupada's purport on it. So we realize our own eternal nature. Not only are Nityananda's feet always there for us, he will not leave us. In this world, our parents are our support and then they die. I remember I had, in 2000, one of my sisters died of cancer, then 2002 my mother died, 2003 my father died, 2004 my other sister died. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know, all my support, all my shelter. It was a very strange feeling, actually, because even though, you know, we expect our parents to die before us, still, you always think, well, you know, if everything falls apart, I can go to mommy and daddy. Right? Even if the whole world hates me and I lose everything, I still got my mommy and daddy. They're gone. And other people may leave you, you may get a good job, you may get fired. You may think that your spouse loves you, and one time you come home and you got a letter that says, actually, I love somebody else. Welcome to the modern world. Your kids may reject you. Your kids may say, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm doing something else. Your body may reject you. There's all these autoimmune diseases. Your body rejects itself. But Lord Nityananda will never reject us. Lord Nityananda is not going to leave us through death. He's not going to leave us through disloyalty. He's never going to leave us. And when we are in touch with Lord Nityananda, we realize that we are also eternal. Some way or other, Prabhupada says, contact Nityananda some way or other. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not narrow or stereotyped. Now we might think here that Narottama Das Thakur is asking for the Lord to give him material happiness. No, he's asking for real happiness. He's asking for the happiness of devotional service. He's asking for the happiness of spiritual realization, which is the kind of happiness the Lord wants to give to the living entities. We want our children, our spouses, our parents, our friends to be happy, right? Like, didn't you just say that? I just said that right to your daughter? He said, I just want you to be happy. It's natural that we want someone to be happy. So Krishna wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be happy in some illusory way. He wants us to be happy really. So when we say to the Lord, I'm ready for happiness, He's very happy Himself. What's going to make the Lord the happiest? When we say, I'm ready for your eternal happiness, you have to give me. What? And where is that to be found? Now we're going to do a little meditation on a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about getting Lord Nityananda's shelter. He says, a marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor in chief. He's selling the pure, unadulterated holy name wholesale, discounted price. All you have to do is have faith that if I chant the holy name, I will attain everything. And as soon as Lord Nityananda just sees a little tear in our eye when we say Krishna, then he says, ah, that's the right person. Somebody who loves Lord Chaitanya, someone who loves Krishna, I will give him everything. All opulences, all spiritual opulences, all removal of offenses. When those offenses are removed by the grace of Lord Nityananda, then one's got the treasure of love. Because when we chant the names of Gauranga, Nityananda, Gauranga, Nityananda, there's no offenses. And then without offenses, we get a taste for the name of Krishna. And once we get a taste for the name of Krishna, then everything else in the world seems pale and uninteresting. And if you don't want everything in the world to seem pale or uninteresting, don't chant Hare Krishna. When we become attached to the holy name of God, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, everything becomes successful and Radhashyam will personally come to rescue us at the end of our life. Now, who is it that can get this benediction? So Lord Nityananda is an equal opportunity employer. You know, nowadays we talk a lot about not discriminating, and most of the modern countries have all these laws, don't discriminate by this or that bodily characteristic. Well, Lord Nityananda was far ahead of modern society. He doesn't discriminate by anything. Nothing on the external platform. He's just looking for sincerity. He's just looking for faith. He's just looking for love. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadamara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nityananda Ki So thank you very much. I think we're going to be having the aarti now. So I don't think we have time for questions, but I hope you enjoyed this meditation on Lord Nityananda. We have time for one question.
Hare Krishna,
you get the prize. Of the one question. All right.
Sometimes you just want to know the character of Nityananda and Balram.
Ah.
See, Balram normally gets wild, very, you know, very serious all the time. But whereas Nityananda, very calm and cool. And,
you think Nityananda is calm and cool? He's called Avijitta.
Look at that jagai, you know.
Oh, that he doesn't get angry.
Yeah, doesn't get angry.
Oh, you should have been here this morning. Ah, you weren't here this morning. What you do? You can read Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchal Lila, chapter 12. Maybe if the class is recorded somewhere. You can.
Recorded.
It's recorded. Okay. So you can listen to the class. I don't have time to repeat that. It would be an hour. How long was the class this morning? Like hour 20 minutes or something? So you can. That was about Lord Nityananda getting angry, like Balaram. Okay, so that was our one question. Do we have to stop now? Okay. Thank you very much. Nityananda ki.
Jai.
Lord Chaitanya ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Gaura Premananda.
So thank you very much, Mother Urmila, for this wonderful class on Lord Nityananda, and also for coming to Brisbane.